This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Tell us about the Holy Father's focus this morning at his Wednesday audience. They're in St. Peter's.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, he's spoken for so many weeks about apostolic zeal. And to demonstrate that, he's looked at the examples of great saints and how they lived their own lives filled with the beauty of apostolic zeal. Today, he said that he's going to change gears just a bit and noted that there are four aspects of zeal. And the first is joy. Now, these four aspects, he's basing it on his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. That was his first. And so he said that looking at joy and as it's connected to apostolic zeal, we have to remember that Jesus is the constant source of joy, and he's a friend who always accompanies everyone on the path of life, no matter what is happening, no matter what one does. And he said that it's the personal encounter with Christ that makes a person new and actually makes a person become filled with joy. So he said that the question is not whether to proclaim Christ, but it's how to proclaim Christ. And the answer to how, he said, is joy. Because he said, either you proclaim Christ with joy or you don't proclaim him, because if you don't have joy, then it's not, then the way of proclamation is not capable of bringing the true reality of Jesus about. So he said that a person shouldn't have an unhappy face when talking about Christ. He said a Christian who's sad or dissatisfied or resentful or rancorous is not credible, because he said joy is essential for evangelization. And the gospel makes you smile, he said, because it touches your soul. So this encounter with Christ always brings joy. And if this doesn't happen, he said, then you know it's not an authentic encounter with Christ. He said that Christians are the first people who actually need to be evangelized to ensure that this joy of knowing Jesus is permeating the lives of all Christians. And he looked specifically to the passage in Luke, which speaks about the disciples on the road to Emmaus and how they were filled with joy after encountering the Lord. And he pointed out that one returns to daily life with the impetus, he said, of one who has found a treasure. And he pointed out that these disciples were joyful because they had found Jesus and because he had changed their lives. So today, at the end of the Angelus, he left everyone with a little bit of homework. He asked everyone to take some time and to pray and to say, Jesus, you are within me, and to continue to pray with the words, I want to meet you every day. You're a person. You're not an idea. You are a companion, not a program. You are love that solves so many problems. You're the beginning of evangelization. And you, Jesus, are the source of my joy. Amen. So that is a prayer that we all can reflect on today, John, to ask the Lord to enter more deeply into our hearts and to give us the gift of joy.
What a beautiful reflection by our Holy Father this morning. And, you know, it reminds me of, and I can't remember where I heard this. It might have been Bishop Sheen who once said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you think about it, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can proclaim Christ joyfully with that smile on your face that the Holy Father's talking about.
It's true. And in fact, as I tell my priest students here in Rome, as I teach them media training and crisis communication, that we have the best message in the whole world. So we have a duty to proclaim it with joy and with excellence. And it's not hard when we come to know Jesus, because it's he that is the source of that joy, as you're saying, John. So this is a great reminder to all of us to pray, especially for that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and ask him to fill our hearts. More than that, to brim our hearts over with the gift of joy.
And if I may bring in our beloved late Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul II, who said just before he died, it is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. So this Holy Father is saying you introduce him to others, but joyfully, with a smile.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And so that he said that the smile is one of the clues that someone has encountered Christ. So it's a good reminder for all of us to turn that frown upside down and to show that we are friends of Jesus and how much we love him.
Absolutely. And the Holy Father also continued to pray for peace with these wars that are going on. You know, we've been so focused on the Middle East that it's easy to forget what's happening with Ukraine, and also even in Sudan, which I know the Pope mentioned at the end of his audience today.
He did. He asked for prayers, especially for Sudan, where an estimated 9,000 people have been killed. Another 5.6 million people have been forced to flee their homes because of this war that broke out back in April between these two rival military factions. And he also, as you mentioned, asked for prayers for the Holy Land, asked for prayers for what he called martyred Ukraine, remembering that peace is something that all of us need to pray for every day. And he said, wherever there is war, John.
A great reminder from our Holy Father. And we continue to unite our prayers with his for peace in the world. Meanwhile, there's reports about the monastery where Pope Benedict XVI used to live. How is it now being used, Ashley?
Yes, well, this is information fresh out of the press office of the Holy See, who has informed us that the same monastery, as you mentioned, where Pope Benedict Emeritus spent his last years, will now be inhabited by a group of Benedictine nuns. They come from Argentina. And this particular order lives in Buenos Aires, and Pope Francis invited them to come to form a monastic community there in the Mater Ecclesiae Monastery. Now, it has been vacant since the passing of Pope Benedict XVI, but it was originally built as a convent. And since 1984, when Pope St. John Paul II canonically erected it, it has been a place for contemplative sisters to live, contemplative nuns to live. So these six nuns from Argentina are going to come and live contemplative lives there and be of assistance as well to the Holy Father as needed. Now, of course, what happened, the reason that Pope Benedict XVI ended up living there was because typically the residents there rotated every 3 years. So the sisters would come for 3 years, and then a new group of sisters would come. And in November of 2012, the Vatican started some renovations on that monastery. So when Pope Benedict resigned in February of 2013, it was available. It was open at that time. And so that is, of course, where he spent his last years in quiet prayer and meditation. And he lived there along with, of course, his personal secretary, Archbishop Genswein, and four consecrated women who helped to care for him until his death on the 31st of December of last year. And so the Vatican had said that Pope Francis decided to restore the monastery to its original purpose as a place where these contemplative orders can come and can spend the days in prayer, adoration, praise, and reparation as a prayerful presence right there in the silence and solitude of the Vatican Gardens. And the monastery, I've been there several times. It's just located in an absolutely gorgeous place, a bit high up on a hill. You can look down and see the beauty, the green of the Vatican Gardens, the trees, the flowers. It's really an idyllic place to carry out those prayerful activities. So we'll be welcoming those sisters very soon to Rome.
Ashley, didn't you have a very memorable encounter with Pope Benedict there in those Vatican Gardens?
Yes, indeed. In fact, so two very memorable encounters. One was, of course, the day after he passed, had the opportunity to go there to his monastery, to his private chapel, and spend time with his remains there in quiet prayer. And what a moving, moving experience that was. And the other, John, that was that in August of 2022, just a few months before he passed, our Truth and Beauty Project participants, we brought them for a special private tour of the Vatican Gardens and had the opportunity to stand there underneath Pope Benedict's window. And we decided, we just felt moved to pray. And so we sang the Salve Regina. And afterwards, as we walked away, we heard a little voice behind us, scusate, scusate. And we turned and there was a lovely consecrated woman standing there who said, the Pope asked that we give you these. And sure enough, she handed each of us a little gift from Pope Benedict XVI. And it was a lovely keychain with an image of Our Lady, the Mother of the Church, on one side, and an image of Pope Benedict giving a blessing on the other side. So that is so special to me. I carry it everywhere I go. And it was just such an intimate moment with our Holy Father. So in a very special way, I have beautiful memories of that very monastery, John.
You sure do. And as you can see, I did not forget.
Lovely. Oh, so sweet.
All right. Let's shift gears here. Italy, of course, is known for its excellent food and pasta that we have talked about so many times here on the show. But there is a very unexpected type of restaurant that has now opened up in Rome for canine lovers.
Can you imagine? This restaurant, it's called Fiuto, is actually offering dining for dogs. Can you imagine? So the idea is that this restaurant has a special menu only for dogs. Now, I have to tell you, owners are invited to come too. But the menus are quite elaborate. And by the way, they do have different menus for canines and humans. But sure enough, the dog menu starts with antipasti or starter dishes. The dogs can have chicken or meat or fish or vegetable options in case they're vegetarians. And then the size of the food bowls depends on the size of the dog. And so the antipasti, for example, ranges from €8 to €20. So depending again on the weight of the dog. Then you move on to the main course. And these range from about €10 to €22, depending on the portion size. The dog can order chicken nuggets with mashed potatoes, or maybe pork loin with zucchini and julienne carrots, or how about cod with ricotta and zucchini, or even hard-boiled eggs with pea cream and fontina cheese, all kinds of interesting things on the menu. Then dinner is finished off with a dog cake, of course. Now, this is made from minced meat, pumpkin puree, and egg white as well. Now, in addition, of course, the ambiance is kept with soothing music, soft, low lights as well to keep the dogs relaxed. And when the dogs enter, they are seated at tables by a professional dog trainer who decides who will sit where based on dog's breed.
A doggy maitre d'.
A doggy maitre d', exactly. And the doggy maitre d's goal is to make sure that everyone has a relaxed evening at the doggy restaurant. And and before it's all finished, they are meant to pass by a mirrored selfie area, and they do dog photo shoots there that then the owners can share on social media. So indeed, it turns out in Rome, John, I think canine is king.
Canine is king. Dining for doggies. I love it. Okay. If my beagle Blaze could be there, he would say this.
Yes. And then they would serve him some delicious chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes.
There you go. All right. Final moments here. We got a feast coming up this Saturday, November 18th, celebrating two of the most magnificent churches in the world.
Absolutely. This is such a special day for us in Rome. The feast of the dedication of St. Peter's Basilica and St. Paul's Basilica. St. Peter's Basilica, of course, whose original history goes back to 323, when it was built by the Emperor Constantine. And so on the 18th of November, it was then dedicated. And so that was the year 1626. And so on this day, people will go and visit that church. There'll be special relics laid out. This is an opportunity to give thanks for the gift of this beautiful basilica over the tomb of St. Peter. And then at St. Paul's Basilica, located outside the original walls of Rome, it was, of course, was destroyed. It was built by Constantine, but then destroyed in 1823 by fire and rebuilt, so that it was then consecrated in 1854. Again, people will visit this church built over the tomb of St. Paul himself. And of course, millions of faithful pilgrims visit both of those basilicas each year. And they are such important places of our faith. And we have lots to be thankful for on the 18th of November from here in the heart of our faith in Rome.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.